the Creator is the most wonderful engineer of all. Everything He designed shows His endless creativity. This is most obvious when we look at the components of the human body, even the nose. Why the nose? Stay tuned.
The Creator of heaven and earth is the God who makes eyes that can see, ears that can hear, and noses that can really smell.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien for the Institute for Creation Research. Thank you for joining us for this special edition of Science, Scripture, and Salvation. This is the fourth in a series called The Human Body and the Creator. Today, we'll discuss the unique design of the human nose. We invite you to join us as we hear about this fascinating ability to smell that God has designed within our body. Now, at first, it may seem silly to dedicate an entire presentation to the nose, but actually, it's an amazing testimony of design by our Creator. Dr. David Menton is an anatomist and speaker with the Institute for Creation Research.
The nose, first of all, as everybody notices, is flexible. It's flexible by reason of the fact that it has cartilage in it, and there are several little cartilage plates that are in the nose that serve to hold the nostrils open. That alone could be quite a problem if these cartilages did not flare the nose and allow the air to pass in and out of the nasal cavity freely.
We want to take a quick tour of the nose to understand this marvelously designed feature of the human body.
When we enter into the nose, the first part, that is called the nasal vestibule, and it's the part of the nose we can actually look into from outside the body, and it's characterized by having a bunch of large hairs in there. And these hairs, interestingly enough, are like a rather coarse filter.
From there, the air we breathe travels further into our system.
The air then quickly passes through the nasal vestibule into a much larger chamber inside of our skull called the nasal fossae. We have two of these chambers. They're separated by a bony plate called the bony nasal septum. And the thing that's really interesting about these nasal fossae is that each of them has three bony plates that are attached to the lateral wall, sort of like shelves. If you had three shelves in a wall, the shelves kind of droop down at their edges. And these shelves serve to increase the surface area inside the nasal cavity, and it provides much more surface over which the air will flow as we breathe in and out.
Frank Sherwin is co-author of the book, The Human Body, An Intelligent Design.
The nose is a wonderful part of our God-given anatomy. Not only does it give us character, but also we find the nose is an integral part of the respiratory system, helping to filter the air as we inhale it through the nose, through various filtering hairs. The air is then warmed and humidified before it goes down the trachea and into the lungs.
There's another interesting thing about our nasal cavity that many don't know. Dr. Menton.
The two sides of our nose take turns breathing, as it were. The narrow passages through which the air have to pass in going past these plates in the side of the nose, these passages can be closed off. There are special structures in our nose called swell bodies that have blood running through them. And about every 20 or 30 minutes, the swell bodies on one side swell, and those on the other side relax. And then 20 or 30 minutes later, the other side swells. And as a result, we tend to then breathe more air through, say, our right nostril for about 30 minutes, and then we breathe more air through our left nostril for about 30 minutes. And the whole purpose of this appears to be that the surface across which the air is passing to be heated and humidified needs to rest, as it were. The epithelium sort of needs to recuperate from all of this drying effect of the air and the cooling of the air. And so by switching back and forth like this, one side's getting ready while the other side's doing the work.
Of course, the trait the nose is most famous for is the sense of smell. Dr. Ken Cumming is a biologist on staff with the Institute for Creation Research.
It is a distance receptor, a way in which the body can tell what's happening at a distance. Distance reception for warning, to allow us to action or reaction for the events or happenings that are in our environment that we need to respond to, or for good, for encouragement, for the things like the smell of good food or the smell of flowers or the smell of something that would be enticing to us.
So what exactly are smells?
Well, they're airborne, obviously. They're in the air, and they come to us from some source and then be wafted to us by way of a gaseous phase. And then once they arrive where we are, they can then be transformed into a water-soluble mucous membrane. And then from there, they have to be transported across the sensory cell that actually does the receiving, the receiver itself. And these sensory cells then need to have the molecules that come to them be in a lipid or a fat-soluble stage.
Frank Sherwin.
Smell is one of the five special senses by which we can perceive odors. The shape of an odor-causing chemical molecule determines the nature of the odor of that molecule or substance. The Creator has designed our nose to be equipped with olfactory nerves. The nose contains olfactory receptors that are classified as chemoreceptors that are stimulated by molecules that we inhale through the nose. For example, if someone's wearing a perfume or cologne, the various chemoreceptors are stimulated as we inhale the fragrance.
Dr. Menden.
And well up in the top of our nasal cavity, inside the head, is a special patch of cells, actually about 10 million such cells, that are sensitive to our sense of smell or olfaction. These 10 million cells are actually nerve cells. We call them bipolar neurons, and they're very unusual as nerve cells go because they are among the very few nerve cells in the body that are actually capable of being replaced with new nerve cells. Normally, we're born with all the nerve cells we're going to have, and as we go through life, we lose them, and that's why we tend to lose our sense of vision and hearing and a lot of other things. But the nerve cells that are involved in our sense of smell actually turn over about every month or two. We get a complete new set of cells, and despite all this, we still tend to lose our sense of smell when we get to be about the age of 60, and it's not clear why we should, but it does happen.
And if we could magnify these cells, we would see that they have some very special characteristics.
Now, these nerve cells are unusual in that they have on their ends little hair-like structures that stick out on the upper surface of our nasal cavity. And these little hair-like structures are very tiny. You can barely see them even with a very high-powered microscope. They're called cilia. And these little cilia have on their membrane surfaces receptors that are able to pick up substances that we are able to smell.
And these microscopic structures play a huge role in the nose's function.
Now, the things we can smell are specialized molecules, and they've been referred to as odorants. And we are sensitive to a huge variety of odorants, and this seems to be reduced to particular chemical structures and combinations within each molecule that we are able to smell. And when these odorants enter into our nasal cavity and hit these little cilia on these neurons, odorants will actually bind to particular sites on the cilia that are specific for each type of odor that we can smell.
Dr. Cumming,
as we think about what's involved in this whole process, it has to do with living cells that are capable of discernment. Now, that's what's unique about life in general, is it can discern. It can discern molecular structures, very subtle, one from another. And life can discern these information packets, whether they come by sight or come by sound, and here in this case by smell, and inform the mind of what it needs to know to continue on.
According to Dr. Cumming, smells are information that are being received by these very special cells.
There has to be a cell type that receives the message, very particular message, and converts it into an electrical impulse that informs the brain of what's happening in that environment. But of course, the brain has to then interpret it. It has to take these messages and then put the puzzle together to create a nasal or a smell image of something that's informational or that gives a clue as to what's happening in the environment. That by itself seems to be a primary function of the cortex of the brain.
There's also something else very special about the sense of smell.
What is interesting to me is that this olfactory nerve can convey information also to what's called the limbic system, a special sensory part of the brain which ties these smells to emotions and ties it to memory and ties it to other aspects of the organism's behavior, and in a direct fashion. The ears don't do that, the eyes don't do that, but this unique smell does that. It goes directly to the limbic system and interacts in this special emotional way.
In Psalm 115, verses 4 through 6, it says, "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not." Dr. Menton.
When you look at Scripture, it contrasts the God who is real, the Creator God, to all of the false gods, the gods that we call idols. Noses they have, but they do not smell. So the real God, the Creator of heaven and earth, is the God who makes noses that can really smell.
Dr. Cumming.
In one case, an inanimate object can look like a nose, but it has not the capacity to benefit from a nose, whereas life benefits and transforms and allows for the very elements of understanding God's will for our lives, understanding so that we can perceive, we can judge, we can discern, and we can take appropriate action.
It was out of love for us that God created us with our noses and the ability to smell.
And that kind of design is incredible. When you have a micro machine that can be this discerning and this discriminating, to be able to discern thousands of different odors very carefully and very selectively, you now have a good demonstration of God's design capability.
We hope you've enjoyed today's presentation on the human nose. This has been the fourth in an 8-part series titled The Human Body and the Creator. Join us next time when we'll discuss the design of the human nervous system. By the way, if you'd like to learn more about creation science, we'd like to send you a free information packet. Just ask for it when you get in touch with ICR. To ask for today's free offer, please call toll-free 1-800-7-GENESIS. That's 1-800-7-GENESIS. 1-800-7-GENESIS. And you can address your letters to ICR at P.O. Box 2667, El Cajon, California, 92021. ICR's website address is www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. I am Chris O'Brien for the Institute for Creation Research. Thanks for tuning in.